Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, it's now happening. All the tampering, anything that may or may not have been going on has led here to this. The new league year has started in the NFL, and we've had some big moves that have been made. We've had some big moves that have missed badly, and all of us has led us here to now. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. Janae, you and I sat here in real time yesterday and watched Chicago Bears fans around the world and in our building spontaneously combust after finding out that they were signing Andy Dalton, that they had swung and missed badly on Russell Wilson in Seattle. And it feels like 24 hours later, it still doesn't get much better for them.
It hasn't gotten better at all. A lot of times when something tough happens, it's that initial shock, and I think Bears fans are in that stage of initial shock. And we had Sarah Spain join us, obviously, of ESPN Radio Spain and Fitz right after us here. And I felt bad because she came on hoping to talk about The Bachelor and just some fun things happening in free agency. And then it turned into, how do I make you feel better? And the answer was me talking about the Texans, and those conversations are evolving as well.
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a downer yesterday here. And Janae, that was a surprising part for me for a lot of yesterday and for a lot of this recent stanza leading up to the start of the new league year. 4 p.m. Eastern on March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody
here.
Oh,
yeah. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Only one person, only Connor on the board today, actually wore green on this show.
Yeah,
so.
Like what are you doing, Junior? You're like the festive type.
You know what? St. Patrick's Day was always hit or miss for me, Janae, just because when I was in school, I went to Notre Dame, and so you can imagine St. Patrick's Day is something taken seriously. We only had one year where we were actually not on spring break during St. Patrick's Day and actually got to do that on campus, so a little bit of a different feel.
You're right. You did have St. Patrick's Day pretty much every day as a member of the Fighting Irish, so I get it.
That is very, very true in here. And so people are looking to try and get that luck over to their team. We'll do a bit of that later on and figure out who needs to get some luck going their way. But, Janae, we talked so much about Russell Wilson for the last couple of days, and we can figure out what we learned from that situation at a later time. But I think it's really kind of blurred our vision from the quarterback that, remember, actually has indicated he wants out of his team. Deshaun Watson and his situation with the Houston Texans has become increasingly complicated for a number of reasons. First and foremost, we want to make clear that we understand and are aware that there are now been filed a civil lawsuit against Deshaun Watson by a massage therapist in Houston, alleging inappropriate conduct in her home in March of 2020 by the Houston quarterback. The lawsuit, which was filed Tuesday night by a Houston lawyer named Tony Busby and appeared on the Harris County District Clerk's website on Wednesday morning, alleges that Watson committed civil assault when touching the massage therapist with his body private part, and that he, quote, intentionally or knowingly caused physical contact with the plaintiff when Watson knew or should have reasonably known that the plaintiff would regard such contact as offensive. Now, this is a civil lawsuit, so we'll keep you up to date as things become aware in this, but obviously legal differences that are going to keep us from really commenting too much on a situation we don't have a lot of information about, Janae.
Exactly, and I know that Deshaun came out with a statement basically saying he looks forward to the opportunity of, you know, clearing his name of this, but again, we don't have the information, and so, you know, now that's another part of the things that we will have to keep track of involving their quarterback in Houston, but more so now on the football standpoint. I know his name has been in other discussions, Junior.
His name has been, and so this is the part where it gets interesting. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and I saw an article from Jeff Howe over at The Athletic who brought up and tried to connect the dots in a couple of interesting ways here. We know Deshaun Watson and his team put out a list of teams that he might be interested at some point. We never heard the Patriots' name as one of them, but after the free agent spending that's been all over our airways, after Bill Belichick going out and putting so much of that free and available cap space to work with their hard-earned dollars, they now have a team that looks very different from the one that we saw a month ago when we were having these conversations. So, Janae, is there any part of you that looks at Deshaun Watson and the New England Patriots and sees a potential fit?
So, coming from Houston, where everyone proudly for a while tried to use the moniker Patriots of the South sort of to tie ourselves to the, you know, type of production that the Patriots got, like, look, like we're building our own thing over here. And, you know, in Houston, it's a pride. I think outside of Houston, a lot of people are like, well, you haven't materialized anything into a Super Bowl. I don't know personally whether Deshaun Watson would look. I think at this point, he probably just wants to get out and be on another team and be able to play. And maybe that's what would make, if the Patriots are, you know, the last man standing or has the best scenario considering all of the, you know, weapons they've brought in of the last 48 to 72 hours, maybe that would look a little bit more attractive. I see this more as a, more of a Nick Caserio play, meaning he has the relationships clearly with the Patriots. If this deal needed to get done, he could be the one to facilitate it. But that is also based on the need and will of the Houston Texans to decide, all right, this is an untenable situation with us and our quarterback. Let's make something happen. And maybe it's those prior relationships that are the best avenue. But other than that, I don't really see this, you know, other than desperation.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Chinay, I see Nick Caserio as exactly the reason this won't happen in all of this, because Jeff Lowe in his piece, I'm glad he talked about one thing, and we mentioned it on here. Everything the Patriots have done are with an understanding. We don't have the ultimate leverage anymore. We lost that quarterback as a part of our thing. It honestly reminded me a lot of the movie Trading Places, where all of a sudden a dollar changed hands and a bet changed hands, and the Patriots had to find out how the other half lived. Tom Brady went down to Tampa Bay, and now we've seen they've become an attractive free agent destination. Anytime someone comes loose, we expect they're going to try and sign with Tampa the way it used to be in New England, where no move they made was the wrong move. Now Bill has realized, when I don't have that piece, I've got to find a way to attract that piece. And so he went out and did all the spending. I think after signing Cam Newton to a very clearly backup kind of money deal to attract a quarterback coming in here, Deshaun Watson makes an overwhelming amount of sense for a coach in Bill, who I doubt wants to start all the way over with a rookie at this point. But, Janae, I don't know how Nick Caserio could look the Houston Texans organization, could look the Houston fans in the eye, and send the guy he said, we're not trading, off to his old boss. Janae, for any kind of culture they want to build there, if you're starting on that foundation, you are waiting to get knocked over.
And that's exactly why, if it has to be done and this is the last thing he'd want, maybe you put the pride to the side and this is a desperate move. But again, like, there's so many factors at play and synergies that have not helped the Houston Texans at all, which, mind you, the New England Patriots, they're putting themselves in a position to contend based on the way the books were balanced, right? They came into a buyer's market with the most cap space in a year where veteran players are available, and they've capitalized on that long-term play, knowing that maybe it hurt in the short term seeing Tom Brady win a Super Bowl. They will be all right, and they're built, like you said, they're trying to create a place that is attractive. I'm not sure if that attractive place would amount in Deshaun, but if, you know, it's crazy because relationships really do matter in this business, and sometimes you have to do business with those people that you know before, and I see that as the only pathway, even if that only pathway is extremely unlikely.
And extremely painful in that process, as any of this would be. I think we're right to consider one thing in here is the plan the Patriots have gone about that you brought up there. It's a reminder of why it has been so perplexing what's gone on in Seattle with Russell Wilson, who we talked about at the beginning of this segment. And Ryan Clark brought this analogy up the other day. It is a first date versus a long marriage right now. And as we can see, it's gotten stale between Seattle and Russ. They look at what they've got, and they're used to it, and they're numb to it. And these other teams, San Francisco, who just signed Trent Williams to the richest contract for an offensive lineman in league history, the Patriots, who just brought over all these weapons that are extremely quarterback-friendly, recognizing when you don't have, you need to provide. And Seattle, looking at their situation, they were asked to just do the dishes, to take out the garbage, and they couldn't be bothered with that because they think they're always going to have it this way.
That is the fun. I was trying to get like the whole analogy, and I guess you're right. Yeah. All you have to do is do the dishes, but then sometimes those doing the dishes, I always do the dishes, and it becomes a bigger thing just because you chose it to be, instead of just being like, hey, we can make this work. Let's squash this small little thing right here. But instead, you've now made a mountain out of a molehill. And now it sort of seems like after the contract expires, possibly after next season, you've already made your bet already. We can point to this offseason and say, look, things were articulated that you're not happy about with Russell Wilson, and you guys dug your feet in the ground instead of just doing the dishes. And instead, now your quarterback's gone.
The quiet thing could get very loud very soon. It's passive aggressive, and it could just knock the passive off
the worst energy
when we get to next year. Like I say, it's been full on aggressive in Houston, and that's why I'm so shocked that more of this Deshaun news, and I'm sure now it will, because Russ ain't getting moved after that last Bears fiasco yesterday. And so maybe the attention turns back to Deshaun Watson. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, though, let's stick around the Pacific Northwest. What is the issue with this area and big-time stars getting the credit they deserve? Because it was that time again last night, and I'm not sure anyone is taking enough notice. That's next. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm ballers, as we get ready for March Madness. It is a weekend, Chanae, that basically mirrors a holiday, the start of March Madness,
yes.
That Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's unbelievable. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chanae Agwumike. Excited to talk to Corey Brewer, former most outstanding player from March Madness. Another, when we say we had Luke Hancock on last week, I guess that would have been.
You can't remember time, right?
Time isn't real at this point, Chanae, but what I know is real is the fact that we are now 2 for 2 in consecutive weeks on most outstanding players on the show.
Yes, I'm so excited. And who else is coming up on the show? A really big deal.
Who else is coming up on the show? Well, at the 5 o'clock hour, we get to talk to U.S. Olympic team member, gold medalist, World Cup champion, and all-around bad you-know-what, Megan Rapinoe joining the show. Very excited.
Today's a good day, baby.
Yeah, thoroughly goated around here today, and I know we make that exception for a lot of people. Megan Rapinoe is one of those. So she's coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern. Corey Brewer coming up in about 10 minutes here as we get ready to deep dive into the tournament. But, Chanae, I think we had another one of those reminders last night of who the bad man really is. Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers were down 17 in the last 7 minutes of a game against the New Orleans Pelicans and Zion Williamson, and they find a way to come storming back behind a hyper-efficient 50-point outing from Dame Lillard. And after we just spent time talking about Russell Wilson in Seattle, who is the perennial, well, he's never even gotten an MVP vote. How is that possible? He's so great. Chanae, mm-hmm. It prompts me to ask, is there something about the water in the Pacific Northwest that breeds great players who we will not award with their league's highest honor?
You're mean.
I'm just asking the question.
You're really mean. Because I played technically in the Pacific Northeast West, you know, NorCal.
You played in the Bay Area. It's different.
Not really, because I wanted to win Player of the Year, and I was second in voting. I won, what an award, which was cool. Went to 3 Final Fours. We're talking about March Madness and never won one. And so this one strikes a chord because everyone sleeps on the Pac-12 after dark. A lot of people sleep on the West Coast. Even more people sleep on Damian Lillard and his heroics. Sorry, Junior. That one just struck a chord.
I can say, but I understand when things hit home. It makes a lot of sense. And you're not wrong on the sleeping on thing here, because I think this is an amazing thing that happens. Do I think Damian Lillard should be the MVP this year? No. But when we look at Damian Lillard, I don't think that's the question we need to ask in celebrating his greatness. But what we do need to look at is where he is relative to others. Because Damian Lillard, the Blazers guard, was on TNT after the game last night and kind of talked about having to do that, put the work in when people aren't necessarily looking.
None of those things that you just named would be possible without the work. And, I wasn't a highly touted middle school player, high school player, or college player. You know, I had to do my work behind the scenes, you know, like you did. I had to earn my way. And I didn't know that I was going to ever get the credit for it or ever get the results for it. So I know what it's like to be unknown and to, you know, not have the lights on you and to want to be seen and want a scholarship to a big school and things like that. I was behind the scenes doing the work. So I don't forget those steps that it took for me to get here. So, you know, even though I got a family and I got all these commercials and, you know, these endorsements, I don't forget the thing that makes all of those things possible, which is the work, the discipline. The humility, the compassion, you know, all of those things that I know I bring as a person, I know that's a part of why I've been able to get a lot of the things that I've gotten. So if I get away from doing what got me here, I'm doing my family and everybody else around me a disservice. So I make sure that I stay true to that first. And the more that I do that, you know, things just keep coming. And I've gotten results from that my whole life. So it's why would I become 30 and see the results that I got and go away from it? You know, so I've gotten stronger in those things. I've gotten more disciplined. I work harder. I work smarter. You know, I love on my people harder. I do all those things at a higher level, and it just keeps improving everything else for me.
Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Janae, we know MVP in this league tends to, like a lot of other most valuable player awards, go to the best player on one of the top seeds in the league. That's not where Dame sits right now. But I want to ask you this, because we're all going to take up for Dame, because this is what we do when he goes off. Is Damian Lillard even the best player, the MVP, on the teams outside of that group? Meaning, is he a better MVP candidate relative to that situation than Nikola Jokic? Is he a better MVP candidate than Steph Curry and what he's dragged the Warriors through this year?
I think that Damian Lillard has a little bit of the same argument of LeBron James. Every year he makes a case for MVP, but we don't really recognize it until it's a 50-point output. And I'll just use the rest of this time, because getting to know Damian Lillard has been one of the best parts of me being a hooper. Both Team Adidas, and I'll give you a little story about who he is. This guy lives in the gym and loves the gym. I went to Adidas to do an event, and I did the event, and they said, hey, Chiney, like, there's a girls team that's practicing, a couple of them. Can you come to the gym afterward and just come say hi? I know it's on your own free time. You're tired. You're working two jobs. I was like, sure, yeah, like, I'll come through. Like, that's important. It's not too far. Let's do it. I go there. We're having a good time with the girls. Next thing you know, Damian Lillard walks in. What? It's an in-between games. Like, he played the day before. He had his day off, and he was going to play the day after. And he came through, and I was like, Dame, what you doing here? And you know, these are girls basketball players. What you doing here? He was like, Chiney, like, I love hoop. I love the game. I heard you're going to be out here. And they said you'd want to come through. Like, I was like, bro, you should be off your feet. You should be resting. But really, like, that's how committed he is to basketball. Not just his craft, but being in a gym and being that relatable person that a lot of people respect, even though we sleep on the fact that he has to carry a huge load. CJ McCollum just came back. That's a guy that before that was giving you 27 points per game. And in the interim, he's kept this team afloat without Post, without Yusuf Nurkic, without Zach Collins. But the reason why people love Dame is because he's himself to his core. And let's talk about how, and I don't know how much time. This man has twins in the house, plus his son, twins in the house, and he's playing his best basketball, knowing that sleep is probably not the number one priority for him. And so you got to, you know, heroes wear capes, and he's one of the best heroes in the league.
I appreciate you filibustering the time with a really heartwarming story, a great reminder of the person Dame is, your relationship with him, and the insight that no one else is going to be able to give you that, because very few people have been where Chiney Agumake has been. And so does that mean it's Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, and then Dame?
No, I'm putting Dame just right now. Hey. I don't care. Yeah, I'll take the smoke. Dame over all of them. I'll take the smoke.
There we go. Dame, then Jokic and Steph can figure it out.
Just like Dame is loyal to Portland, I'm loyal to Dame, okay?
The NBA we are loyal to is on ESPN Radio. We take you up to, we are on with you guys till 6:30 Eastern tonight, as we take you up to Shake Milton and the Sixers hosting Pat Connaughton and the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins right here at ESPN Radio at 6:30 Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations.
Shake Milton, I love it. Keep going.
I gotta say, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's got to be Pat Connaughton. But coming up next, as we talk hoops and get ready not only for March Madness but the home stretch of the NBA season, let's go to our former most outstanding player and find what it takes to cut down those nets in Indianapolis, where everyone's actually going to be in all of this. We'll do that after this word from Dollar Shave Club. Now, guys, we got so many razors here. How are you supposed to choose? Dollar Shave Club has a premium 6-blade cartridge designed for daily shavers and a 4-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers in here. They put both blades in one new starter box so you can test drive both of them. 6 blades, little hairs, get closer in there. 4 blades, bigger spaces, longer hair. I had no idea. Was blind, but now I see. If only were that easy to choose your bracket every March. We'll get into more of that later on. At least when it comes to razors, though, DSC has got you. For more info, visit dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. That's dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. And check out DSC at your nearest store. You've got questions, we've got answers. Welcome to the club. Let's visit an exclusive club next. Former most outstanding player, Corey Brewer, here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agumake, looking forward to talking with Corey Brewer in just a little bit here. Former most outstanding player, part of those back-to-back titles at Florida, also a champion in the NBA with the Dallas Mavericks. So a lot of good stuff to get into with him, Chiné, and a lot of big guy love to get out here. But first, we got to also ask what the hell another big guy was doing, because we just sat up here and talked about Dame time and all this good stuff going on in the NBA. Like, Chiné, it's kind of awesome. I know we only give the MVP out to one person, but we probably got a list six deep of people that are deserving of that conversation at this point. And yet it's a conversation that is not deserving of any sort of love that we saw taking place between Shaq and Candace Parker last night. What in the hell was Shaq talking about here lowering the rim for the WNBA?
This is the most played out argument that we hear all the time. And I know a lot of people will hear WNBA and get triggered. Yes, if you heard WNBA and we're talking about it on National Sports Talk Radio and everyone's like, oh my gosh, why am I doing that? Understand that those preconceived notions deny the fact that actually this is the best women's basketball league in the world. Whether you like the NBA, that's cool. We're just saying that these women, they operate at the highest level. And our game is different. Now, Shaq said, all right, this is how we close the gap with the WNBA. We lower the rims, which we've heard 1,000 times. And my sister, WNBPA president, most eloquently stated that why would we do something to appease people that aren't even appreciating our game for what it is? Then we have to change our games by lowering the rim. And then now those same people are going to be more critical and compare us and try to use that as still it's not good. Why are we catering to an audience that does not see us for our worth? Why don't we go with society that is moving in the direction of understanding our value as women and knowing that we're the best of the best? And guess what? Science is evolving. There's a woman by the name of Fran Bellaby that I've gotten to know who plays at Stanford, who dunks left and right in practice, dunks occasionally in the game, Stanford women's basketball, number one in the NCAA tournament. The game is evolving. Science is allowing us to train in ways that we never expected. Young players are training, women particularly, like professionals at the age of 10 now. Before, I had to learn a drop step, not by watching YouTube, but by getting taught by my coaches that played, which happened to be men, and they said, hey, the game is the game, basketball is basketball, I'm going to teach you this. The game has changed. Technology has helped. Science has helped. Women are going to continue to push boundaries. You're going to see more people dunking. We don't need to lower the rim. Let this natural evolution take place. And lastly, I will say this. Where was the NBA when it started its 25th season? Probably on tape delay and trying to transition their league. Give us the same time. Give us the same runway. And that's basically what Candace was thinking when she said, nah, I'm good.
Honestly, I can say, Chiné, thank you for speaking what her eyes were saying at that point in time, because good Lord, if looks could talk, they would have said what you just did there. So a message to everybody, man. Like, it's
leave it alone.
Try different
leave
jokes.
Leave it alone.
Get out of here.
Leave it alone. But talk to me about the big boys getting paid and uplift me here.
I was going to say, let's do fun big boy talk here. Chiné Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio. Because this place does love post players. This place does love big guys. And what we have learned, Chiné, from free agency so far is this.
Okay.
Quarterbacks don't like getting hit. They love fat people. A lot. And so if you're a team that wants to bring a potentially very nice quarterback to your situation, it seems like it might be a good idea to go out there and do that. Perfect example what we're seeing right now with the Arizona Cardinals. They just traded for Rodney Hudson from the Raiders. Got him over there because they like Kyler Murray. So they got A.J. Green. They went and got DeAndre Hopkins last year. And now they're getting him a nice big person to help keep him from getting hit, because that's what quarterbacks like. Aaron Rodgers has a very highly paid David Bakhtiari protecting his left side all the time. Patrick Mahomes got Joe Tooney. I know they did let his lineman going, but you understand, they have the right idea. San Francisco, who, listen, we don't know what their future looks like with Jimmy Garoppolo or not, or somebody else, but they understand that protecting the most valuable asset on your team is important. And so what do? You back up the damn Brinks truck to Trent Williams.
Yes, you pay the most valuable asset.
You pay him to the tune of 6 years and $138.06 million that makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL as of this morning. $55.1 million in guaranteed money and a $30.1 million signing bonus. Now, Chiné, you might be asking, why are there all those weird little decimals, 0.06 in this?
Yes.
Those little numbers right there? Well, this is where it gets even more funny. So, we all know everyone's constantly trying to one-up one another when it comes to these contracts. David Bakhtiari was the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL prior
fun
to
fact,
this moment.
You learned the fun fact about him with me.
Yes, I did learn the fun fact that David Bakhtiari, who was the highest paid NFL offensive lineman for a time, had been working out at the same place Chiney was, and because of social distancing and masks, she had no idea until the other day that he was in the room with her this entire time.
Yeah, I was like, because they come in as I leave, because I'm the first one that trains, because I got to get back to a radio show that I love, Chiney and Golic Jr. And then finally, you know, we had social distance and masks were off, and I just looked at the football guys. I was like, hold up. Oh, okay, I get it now. I was like, I have to tell Junior, my offensive lineman is extraordinary.
I was going to say, and you had the extraordinary offensive lineman in that spot. And what's extraordinary about this situation, in addition to Chiney being kind of oblivious, and you know what? That's the perfect world for an offensive lineman. We don't want to get noticed. We just want to do our jobs, and we want to see big guys get paid like that. Chiney, Trent Williams went the extra mile of petty. That .06 in there,
that's what the separation.
He wanted to separate himself that much. Trent Williams now becomes the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of pro football, and he beats out on an average per year basis David Bakhtiari by $10,000 a year. He went back and made sure that he was going to make $10,000 a year more than David Bakhtiari just so he could say he was the highest paid. We endorse that petty around here, Chiney.
Completely endorse all of that. That's so great. Junior, when you saw that contract come through, because I know that's the guy, Trent Williams, that you've been following over the course of, like, above everyone in NFL free agency, as a former offensive lineman yourself, how did you feel?
I felt great. Trent Williams is a guy who overcame. Remember, he was dealing with a brain tumor type issue when he was in Washington, that whole beef with the Washington football team's medical staff. He sat out a year, bet on himself, and came back and became, again, one of the best tackles in pro football and was rewarded like it, Chiney. And that's all you want to see out here is the best rewarded for doing what they do at a high level in here. He got the value he deserved for being one of the best in the league.
And giving as much guaranteed money to as many positions as possible, and that's what I love about it as well.
Amen. Listen, the 49ers recognize they got a good thing going, and they want to keep it working that way. Message to other teams that don't have a quarterback that may want one to come. If you build it with fat people, the quarterbacks will come. So congratulations to Trent Williams on a blockbuster deal. But coming up next, let's head to what should be a blockbuster weekend. March Madness gets started tomorrow. Let's go inside the huddle with someone who has been to the mountaintop and knows what it takes to cut down those nets. We'll do that after this word from Body Armor.
Oh, is it? It's you, Magic Mike.
That is me. That is a fair point.
No music. No music.
Magic Mike falling asleep out the wheel out here. You know what it is? Because I haven't hydrated enough yet right now.
That's it.
And that's what I need to do. I need to let Body Armor Light help me get right for moments like this and help you achieve your fitness goals while they're doing it. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle in flavors like berry punch and coconut. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, Megan Rapinoe, who will be joining us
very
soon, fueled by Body Armor, use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated. So why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Let's talk about some banners next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and it is tournament time, friends. The college basketball season has reached tournament time. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch List for the Wooden Award Late Season Top 25 nominees. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. You can also join our bracket challenge on ESPN.com. But, Chiney, you know me. I like starting fires in a lot of places, right?
Oh, yes.
Like
you love chaos.
I like needling people. And I like going back for hypothetical situations and talking crap on behalf of my college. I went to Notre Dame, played football, and I have been reminding people at a certain institution that had a game been played between Notre Dame and Kansas State instead of Notre Dame and Alabama in 2012, I'd be wearing a big fat ring on my finger right now.
True.
The best part is that game will never happen and we can never solve these things. But that intercollegiate smack talk is one of my favorite things. So as we welcome in Corey Brewer, former NBA hoops player, NBA champion, as well as two-time NCAA champion at Florida, Corey, I got to ask you, how much of that college smack talking goes on inside NBA locker rooms once you get to that level?
Oh, a lot of smack talking goes on. Come on, you always want your school to be the best. And luckily for me, when I first got in the league, we had already just won two in a row. So, you know, I was on top of my smack talking.
We love that. And obviously, most outstanding player at Florida for the NCAA tournament. March Madness is here. Have you filled out a bracket? Are you rooting for certain teams? What do you think so far?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is the best time of the year. I always tell everybody, when March comes, man, it's basketball time. Everybody's going to be watching you. You're on the big stage. So, I always have my bracket. I always have my Gators winning it all. If we're in it, I was winning it all. But, it's just me. I'm always going to be a Gator fan. But there's some good teams in this year's bracket, especially when you got teams like Gonzaga who they haven't even been beat. And they got three guys who all could be the best player on any team in the country. So it's going to be a good tournament.
I love it because if your Gators are in it, we're winning it. That's how I am with Stanford. Stanford women are doing really well this year in the NCAA tournament as well. Number one overall seed. But I want to segue over to the NBA, Corey. Corey Brewer joining us here on ESPN Radio, former NBA champion. And, you think about the NBA overall, there's been a lot of conversations. I know you probably saw what Damian Lillard did, 50-piece last night, did the Dame time. There are a lot of submissions. LeBron James, possibly, for most valuable player. Joel Embiid. Who do you think is the league's MVP right now?
Right now, man, definitely the big man in Philly's playing the best right now. To me, he's MVP. He's getting it done. He's unstoppable inside, and he's shooting the ball from outside. So that big fella, he's the MVP.
And I think a lot of people would understand that, but we still look off in the distance and what Brooklyn's doing right now. James Harden might be in the MVP conversation, but it's tough with three great players on one team. Based on that and acquiring extra parts around here now as well, can anyone actually take down the Brooklyn Nets, even if the MVP's in Philly?
They're tough. With those three guys out there, it's just making his job so much easier. He's got the ball. Kyrie, he moved over to the two. And he's the one now just making plays. He's triple-double every night. They're going to be tough to beat, especially when some 35 gets back. It's going to be he's not 35 anymore, but it's going to be a long night for a lot of teams.
Very true. Chinee Ogbonge, Mike Golic Jr., and Corey Brewer, former NBA player, NBA champion, two-time NCAA champion, joining us here on Chinee Ogbonge Jr. on ESPN Radio. And I have to ask you this because, Corey, I really appreciate your game. I'm from Houston. I enjoyed your time, albeit short, a couple years with the Houston Rockets. We always do this challenge with guys that have been around different places in the league. Can you list every team that you've played for in consecutive order?
Oh, in consecutive order?
Yes.
I played for a lot of teams. That's the hard part. I think I can. Let me go. Minnesota. Minnesota, New York. I was in New York for 8 days. Dallas, Denver, back to Minnesota, to Houston, to the Lakers, OKC. Philly, Philadelphia. I had 10 days in Philadelphia. Then I went to Sacramento.
He even stuck New York in past Wikipedia right there. You cannot defeat. That is impressive.
Well done, Corey.
That is damn impressive. Corey, we appreciate your time. We don't have a ton of time left here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask as we get ready to start the tournament tomorrow. What's the biggest advice you give players who are going into this situation right now? A single elimination tournament, unlike any other in March Madness. What is the advice of a former most outstanding player for guys getting ready to enter this?
I give them the same advice Coach Donovan gave us. You got to live in the moment. You got to play every game like it's your last game. Live in the moment. You got to want it to last forever, man. NCAA tournament, you get one chance to win it all, go win every game.
Truer words never spoken by a guy who knows a lot about winning the biggest game in that tournament. Corey, we appreciate the time and the insight, man. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon.
Corey.
Impressive stuff.
Well done.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
NBA champion and two-time national championship champion at Florida, Corey Brewer, with us here. Man, it was back and forth on a couple of those. That was like watching in the middle of the day, The Price is Right, someone looking out at the crowd trying to gauge interest. I feel like he was reading us.
Yeah, he realized he had in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, No More Lifelines, and he was like, oh snap, I have to remember this. Okay, 8 days here. Like, that was really impressive. He was like, actually, there was a stint with the Knicks. Yeah, that was really cool. Well done by Corey Brewer.
I can say, sir, come on, you know, in a little bit, we can get to one NBA player who may only be spending a matter of days in his new location, the least surprising trade in recent NBA history that we can get to. But coming up next, if we are going to talk to champions, it feels like we just need to keep this thing going here. So Corey Brewer, back-to-back national titles at Florida with the Gators, NBA champion with the Dallas Mavericks in 2011 here. But coming up next, it's about to get sports royalty in here. Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion, and all-around bad you-know-what. Megan Rapinoe stopping by the show, kind enough to give us some time. We'll check in and find out what it's like to beat Father Time, the coronavirus, and other opponents next on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.